So I talked to my grandma this week, my Mimi, and
yes,
she was talking. We were talking about like finding people online because I was talking about how, you know, lack of new stuff going on during COVID is making me bored, which is making me pay extra attention to my neighbors. And then,
oh yeah, sure.
I had become worried that one of my neighbors like was abducted overseas, and like that's a story for another time.
I mean, this is so ridiculous. Okay. Okay.
But I was telling my grandma that story and about how my girlfriend and I had extensively looked up this neighbor online, like enough to figure out like where she worked before, some old research projects
really
she had
into
done,
it.
Her country of origin, all of it.
And wow, that's a lot of stalking. Okay.
As I was telling my grandma about this, she was like, oh, do you think that you could find some people for me? And so she wanted me to look up her old...
Also, everyone who's a listener, you don't know this, but the is a sound that Jamie's grandma makes, and I love it.
And can you actually also tell them that... That's pretty accurate because people think when I do like a grandma voice that I'm doing just
no,
like
that's
some
what
bullshit
she sounds like
that doesn't exist. But
no,
that, yeah, and
your
I also,
impression of her is pretty accurate.
Thank you, because also like we share genetics and a vocal cord or two, probably.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, so she asked me if I could find her old upholstery teacher online, and aww. I tried and I couldn't find her. But then she said. Also, I was wondering, and I'm not wanting to do anything about it. I just, you know, I thought it would be interesting because we were such good friends and he was my first love. I thought maybe you could reach out to, I won't put his name on here, but she wanted me to find her old boyfriend from high school from Chicago before she moved to Cincinnati with her family. And
I'll drive to his house. Okay.
I actually was going to say, I have.
Oh my God, stop.
So she, stop. And I need to talk to her about this because we didn't have time to go into like why this is a bad idea. But she said she paid $1 to a service called like Better Find You or something. I can't remember
what
it's called.
No, right. Well, this is how the older set is getting scammed.
I know. And I'm like, fuck, Mimi, like you have to check your credit card statement. But regardless, that gave her some things that I was able to find on Google within seconds, which was like his full name, his children, his address, previous address, and phone number. And she was wanting to like just like call him. And I guess she talked to my mom about it. And my mom was like, that might be jarring. Like, please maybe don't do just call him out of the blue. So
I don't know. It's different with older people, though.
I think she should write him a letter. We tried to find him on Facebook and he doesn't have a Facebook. The only social he has is a LinkedIn that hasn't been active in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I kind of feel like she should write him a letter, but it's like making me excited for her. And like, I don't know, even if they could just like talk or reminisce a little bit. She's talked about him from time to time, like throughout my life. And like what a big deal it was for her because she was like 17. She was about to be a senior in high school. She was like in love with her first like real-ish boyfriend.
Yeah,
and had to move to Cincinnati and leave him. And so she's just kind of always wondered like what if about him. And now that my grandpa has passed away, that's an important piece of information in this story.
Sure, certainly.
And it's been like a couple of years, and so I think now she's like curious, and she always said that she wouldn't date like after she was a widow, and I don't know that it would even be dating, but I just think it's like so interesting and cute that she is curious about him. And I don't know, like,
well, I don't think that's even necessarily like flirts even with dating, but I understand how there are people from your past that it would maybe like in a present relationship, like even if you just wanted to be like, I wonder what happened.
Yeah.
That it would be inappropriate. Like it would feel weird in a relationship. I feel that about like people, and there are people that I would totally talk to single, but I like wouldn't talk to if I was dating someone because it would just feel like a little off, you know?
She also doesn't want to talk to him if he has a wife that is alive. So that's been part of like,
wow, she's into him then. If she's like, well, it would be inappropriate. But she like, I'm like, she's like feeling some high school bullshit.
You could find
okay,
out if he has a wife. And I'm like, I could try.
Oh my God, I love this first love like vibe. I'm like very into this. It's making me think about the movie Evening, which was discussed with our friend Thomas about how
get off of that.
Okay, here's the thing. I've thought about this as like a prompt in my own life recently, though, where it's like, name a movie that you enjoy that everyone else hates. And apparently that's the one for me, because I have, I feel like what, you know,
it was fine.
There are movies I really enjoy that I think people would be like, okay. Like, I'm not ashamed to say Top Gun is one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah.
And but people don't universally hate that one the way they do when I bring up Evening, which honestly, fucking watch the movie. It's a great film.
Okay. It's better than Top Gun, I will say that.
Top Gun's a great movie. Don't come for me on
that. It's fine.
I love how kind of like young, lovey, lusty this is. I don't know.
I know, me too. I'm like very excited for her and I want some kind of correspondence to happen. You could maybe do a little drive-by of his house, but I don't know what that would tell us.
You know what? I would gladly.
You could photograph drive my car somewhere and
take a picture of the outside of his house. You know how older folks love photographs of the outside of houses. You know.
True. What is
that's
that?
That's such an older person thing. Like, as a millennial, like, I couldn't care less to see the facade of a home. But, man, the boomers and up, they're, like, really about it. Like, what is that about?
Oh, my God. I don't know. She would love it, though. Okay, I'll give you the address after this. We'll figure out if it's close.
No, say it live. This isn't live. Say it on air.
It's in Brookfield, Illinois. I'm not sure if that's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know exactly where that is.
Within a driving radius for you.
Absolutely it is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe when I can come to Chicago again, we could do a stakeout.
We could do. Maybe we'll do an episode. Maybe we'll bring you, dear listeners, on a mic in the car and it'll be like all about Jamie's grandma's boo. Listen, we'll see if we can get some content out of this, you know?
We have our best ideas when we're mic'd up. I love this.
Yeah, honestly, you guys hear us just workshop shit like our green energy gyms, but...
That's the best one to date.
That's one of the best. Also, just like, listen, we're going to franchise it. I'm passionate about that. Mm-hmm. Also, my teamwork to save Borders Books and Music.
Oh, my God.
I love how I'm saying I'm going to save it, even though it's like gone. I'm going to save it. I'll tell you this much. When I imagine myself on all these endeavors, in each and every one of them, I'm wearing a red polo with some kind of logo.
Wow. You know. Yeah. Yep.
Only red polos from now on.
That's very visceral. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome. Soul searching to find their true self.
I mean, that is this podcast. So.
It's basically an SVU episode with help from talking rats.
This month in December, please stop douching your genitals. Who's participating in this study that's like, here, for like the $30, I like came in this cup so 30 different women could taste it. I'm like, who's that guy?
So it fit like a tiny belly shirt with like cap sleeves. And when the ambulance came, like that's what he was wearing.
You're saying all sorts of crazy shit now.
I'm gonna peak in high school and then die.
I do believe in fairies. I do. Is franchising our platform? We're franchising it, okay? Welcome. Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, human behavior, the love life of our grandparents, pop culture, pseudoscience, real science, whatever we're noodling on at any given time, in order to determine why people are the way that they are, and honestly, to hopefully spark some conversations in your own life. I want to add that, right? I feel like that's really the motivation. Mm-hmm. I hope this makes you tell someone you know something that they're like, God, would you stop being that person who's like, well, I was listening to a podcast. Yep. Because I'm that person. I won't stop. But yeah, it's annoying. It's who I am, though. It's a character trait at this point. Anyway, that's Jamie Ryan, perhaps being less annoying than me, and also out here finding pasta lovers for, you know, the older set and some house facades in Los Angeles, but the house facades aren't there, you know, but she is. Okay.
But that's Austin Williams in the rough location of these alleged house facades.
I'll do it. I'll get these facades. Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm like very excited about this. And I didn't find an obituary, so I'm like pretty sure he's alive, but he's 80. So we got to get moving.
Time is a ticking.
It is. Time's a wasting. Anyway, speaking of time a wasting, I'm not here to talk about, you know, sort of 11th hour romances, but
Unless you want to, in which case we'll just derail the whole show. You know, we can't know. I don't know. Oh, would I ever? I'm trying to think of myself now as this older person and my fear of the year 2080, as previously discussed.
Yeah.
And like, is there anybody I would be trying to find? And I really think no.
There are people who I would be curious about, just like from my life, but not in like a romantic way. There's not like,
I think there are old friends I would look up.
Like, who, where are you? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have anyone yet, but like, I don't know. Maybe I'm willing to bring someone else into the fold that later I can think about, you know?
Yeah.
But not, currently, no interest.
We'll find them. We'll find the now and then romance for you. Anyway.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, what are we actually talking about in the spirit of wasting time?
So sort of related to older people who make poor decisions online, like putting their credit card information into something called Better Find Me. We're talking about MLMs, multi-level marketing things.
Okay.
Schemes,
all
plans,
right.
Whatever.
And here we are.
So how did I get here? Obviously, like I've been, you know, I watched the Nexium documentary. A lot of you probably watched it. I feel like MLMs are something that have kind of come to the forefront a lot recently. They've been around for fucking forever. But I feel like we're kind of like really waking up to them slash they're becoming like a cultural meme, kind of like spam. You know?
Yeah, everybody's making fun of those bitches who thought they were going to make $30,000 selling like LuLaRoe leggings in a month, you know?
Speaking of LuLaRoe, thank you. So,
My favorite recent one. I'm just like, y'all, just it's like, it's just one of those things where people are like, you know what's hot? Leggings. I'm like, dear God, I can't.
So, I've been watching a lot of Sister Wives lately.
Oh, sure.
As you might guess. And
one of your all-time favorite shows, I would maybe say.
I love it. And I want to ask you, as a non-watcher, right? Like, you do not watch Sister Wives. Okay, so
correct. I've never seen it.
Also, for, like, those of you who are listening who maybe don't watch Sister Wives, it's about a polygamist family. And there's there's one husband and there are four wives and just a smattering of children. And I want to ask you, as someone who doesn't watch the show, how would you guess that they support themselves financially?
Oh, I do feel like I maybe know this, though.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like, well, I don't watch the show, but, like, sell, like, crafts or something? Like, don't they go to, like, craft fairs?
You're sort of close. You might be thinking of My Sister Wives Closet, which is the jewelry line that Robin made.
Well, I mean, God bless.
Also, it's called My Sister Wife's Closet.
That's a real vibe. I will say, though, just with, like, the thought of a polygamous family, I do feel like my assumption would be, like, they're doing some labor because it's kind of one of those, like, I got all these wives who I've probably had kids with to, like, you know, tend to the farm or, like, whatever the shit we're making is. Like, it seems like you'd be on an entrepreneurial hustle.
A self-sufficient kind of deal.
Yeah, well, and also you live in air quotes alternative lifestyle, and so you, like, being just, like, a part of the normal workforce feels like it would probably be, like, a difficult thing to navigate, so I imagine you're an entrepreneur.
Okay, good call. So, it's never, like, super clear what Cody, the dad, does as a job. He has, like, various...
He fucks these women. That's what he does.
And they all have jobs. And so...
They work to support him. He's outsourcing his labor to his sister wives.
I found a website that was, like, a financial, like, gossip website. Ridiculous. But, they were speculating and, like, going through, like, the Browns, the Brown family.
Sure.
Their probable finances, like looking at, like, you know, how much everything probably costs and, like, what
the homes,
jobs,
the car,
what jobs the family, like, has mentioned before, and, like, just kind of speculating, like, how the income happens. And
they're getting paid from this fucking show, so
they are, but not enough. And that information was available, and it's not enough to, like, support their family fully. So
I feel like it should be. If you're gonna put your whole life on television, I feel like that should be able to support
you. I also feel that way, but from what I read, it seems like they get, like, a lump sum as a family. They don't get, like, individual payments, and so that brings the total, like, down much further than it would be. Anyway, that's irrelevant. What I found through reading this article is that most of the wives, so Janelle has, like, a business where she sells food storage containers, but, like, it's a legitimate company, but the rest of the wives like dabble in a lot of MLMs. And so they're also using like their platform as reality celebrities to become better at these MLMs. So to like increase their sales and increase like the amount of people who are in their downline, which we'll talk about later.
Sure. They've got to have some notoriety. It's like you have a light level of fame and then you get on Cameo, you know?
And also like their culture of like women being in the home, but also needing to make money because like you have this kind of cauliflowered out family with like multiple.
I was going to say you got 9 children. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like you have to be at home for childcare, but you also have so many mouths to feed. Like that is the perfect candidate to be like vulnerable to an MLM because it's like this promise of, oh, hey, like, look at me. I'm like this Mormon mom at home with my kids making my own hours, like selling this
churning
fucking
butter.
Leggings sure. and churning butter. And like, I'm doing great. So a lot of people like followed them into, I think Mary did LuLaRoe, one of them does LuLaRoe and one of them does like a clothing one that's kind of equivalent.
Schemes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so with that being said about the Brown family, that was kind of like what this really got my mind on MLMs was watching a lot of Sister Wives and then kind of noticing their business ventures. So before we dive into like what exactly an MLM is and how it works.
Go on. Yes.
Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So first, just like there's so many of them to talk about and we'll like do a rapid fire at the end. But first, like our personal experience slash archetype of like an MLM or pyramid scheme, like what do you think of? And like, do you know any people who have been involved in them like personally?
Okay. So I feel like for me, if somebody was like, you know, an alien who came to me and was like, I need you to explain to me what a multi-level marketing scheme is, I would say, okay, basically it's some sort of business model. It could be a service, it could be a good, or it could be like nothing, where there's some sort of emphasis on recruitment.
Yes.
And getting people, other people involved, regardless of whatever you claim to be like selling, serving or not, getting the other people involved is how you bring in the money because it's really just money from the people involved that's being funneled through weird channels in arbitrary ways.
Yes, it's not about the product.
Exactly. So that would be my general vibe on it. When I think about multi-level marketing scams in general, I think because just the age that we're in, a lot of people are like trying to do the ones that are very like just selling some sort of good on the internet, like LuLaRoe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like out of their homes. I think oftentimes I imagine like the target audience as a woman, more so than I see like men, you know, being targeted for this just based on like what's being hawked. Not to say that men have not been involved in pyramid schemes since the dawn of time, but
I think childcare makes you vulnerable. I think that being the caregiver of a child makes you vulnerable to these things because you need flexible hours.
Totally. I think that's a thing for sure for people who like cis hetero relationships, caring for kids, like that whole vibe. And like, honestly, aside from like a little financial investment, right? Pretty low barriers to entry in terms of like skills. Like nobody's going to say, oh, you're not qualified for this job. People are going to be like, no, join us.
Yeah,
so
we will.
That's a vibe. LuLaRoe is certainly one I think of. But also like, I don't know, let's like rewind. In some ways, I feel like all the people doing the fucking Mary Kay, Longaberger baskets, Pampered Chef, all of
stuff.
That stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, because like you're selling goods, but also like you're just like making your friends like come buy shit from you.
When I was in high school and I was like between jobs because I had worked at that coffee shop for my dad's friend who never paid me.
Never paid you.
I had to leave and work somewhere else. When I was in between those jobs, whose name I will bleep, was
our mutual crush in middle school, go on,
was selling Cutco knives, and he had like door to door.
Tried to sell some to my mom, and
he
my
probably
mom was
did.
Like,
she was like, despite
really
your handsomeness,
these.
I don't need knives.
Mm-hmm.
So he recruited several like of his classmates, and I remember like, I don't know, one of my friends and also my dad being like, oh, well, like, so-and-so, I'm not going to bleep it again, is doing this, like doing Cutco, yeah. like you should like do that. And I remember like as a 17-year-old being like, yeah, like I've been a server before and I'm cool with like interacting with strangers, but like I am not right. going to like go into someone's home and do a demonstration for something that I fully know that they don't want. And I just like knew that I could yeah. never be like pushy about the sales or recruitment in the way that would make me successful at that.
Right.
Ever. It would be so weird.
Right.
Also, speaking of like people that I went to high school with, and I think that this might be a difference between you and I, just like interestingly, kind of like public, private high school stuff. But mm-hmm. a lot of people that I went to high school with after graduation and especially like after college time, so like from 20 to 25, on Instagram, I saw a ton of people getting involved in MLMs, and I would get like a lot of DMs and like texts from people I went to high school with. Being like, hey, like, I think you would be great for this, like, place that I work and, like, that kind of shit. And do you remember specifically the you should be here pictures? It was, like, people on cruises and, like, yeah. in tropical locations holding signs that say you should be here. But there was never any other information about it.
I tried to get – I think I did, like, a light Google on that, like, late in bed at night trying to figure out. And everybody was just like, yeah, this is a weird pyramid scheme. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, you, like, sell cruise packages, but you have to buy a bunch and then you sell them to people. And it's – so you're always on the cruise, but you, like, aren't making any money, but the cruise is free.
Right. No, this is interesting because – I think like what you're talking about, this kind of Facebook hawking of things of like, you should be and it to me is like the one where I'm like, these are some dumb people that I've apparently crossed paths with. But if I circle back on our knife guy of Cutco fame, right? Like he, super bright.
Yeah.
Also like babe, like just to put in context about how much we were both like vibing here. He was a year ahead of us in school. And when we were like in eighth grade and the high school was doing a production of Macbeth, the theater program did this thing where you could send people like, I don't know if they called them candygrams or whatever, but like you could send a little note and like a piece of candy to people who were in the show, but you like paid a dollar or something to do
it. Did I do that too? And
so listen, I'm going to jog your memory on this one, but we like you could do that and it was how they raised some money for the theater department. But like you then also like gave nice things to the people in the show. It's cute.
Great fundraiser. We'll return to fundraisers in a minute. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, we'll get into that. But we sent him one together anonymously that said, we think you're so hot and we talk about it all the time.
Jesus Christ. Like, that's like the last thing he needed for his ego, but oh my God.
Oh, so his ego, I mean, that's because he knew he was very hot.
I know, he did know, yeah. It was fine.
God bless.
It didn't detract from his hotness that he knew.
I don't regret it.
At the time.
I'm honestly proud we did that. I was a big fan.
Wow.
Anyway.
He probably knew that it was us.
I honestly hope that he did.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway.
If he doesn't, I'd like to ask him someday. Anyway, but I just want to say, like, I guess I just want to hearken to, like, the different archetypes. Because I feel like there are some versions of people that I'm more dismissive about whatever MLM thing they've gotten into. And these, like, Facebook hawkers of, like, weird shit. I'm always like, okay. Like, what? Yeah. But then there were some people I feel like who did things that I was like, oh, like, this doesn't seem... nuts.
Feels fine.
You know, like the Cutco knives, like I didn't want to do that, but I didn't think like this guy's fully insane.
I kind of equate Cutco with Mary Kay, which I also didn't clock as an MLM until like this week. So I don't know, maybe because they're both older, like they're not new MLMs. We feel like maybe there's the prestige of longevity.
Right. And it did seem like there was Mary Kay. I feel like I have more knowledge of there. I feel like there was more real like money via like the selling of goods. Like it wasn't like you had to recruit people to
but
like
you have
rise.
To buy your kit. So like if you're not good at selling it, you're just out the money.
Yeah.
Is that how pure romance works?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All these parties.
All these parties, honestly, if you invite me to a party where you're trying to sell goods at your house, I'm not coming.
I went to a Mary Kay party when I was in eighth grade one time at Here Comes Another Bleep house, which is a shock because like you would never think that that family
would
like,
never
be interested
that.
In cosmetics. So
I agree.
It was,
but I think I could see them being interested in a flexible monetary income.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember like how dark the kitchen was. It was just like the weirdest experience, and it felt like so unprofessional. But maybe that's
there's
why
a reason
these things
people
work.
Don't put makeup on in the living room. Like if I put my makeup on in my living room, I don't know what I would look like a clown. The lighting in there is not for it.
You should do it in your car. You know, it's like really when you get in the car that there's like the big.
That's
reveal.
Actually the best spot.
It is. So, but that made me think like. Okay, these are people who would like probably never be interested in cosmetics and like might be intimidated by someone like doing their makeup or any kind of like makeover thing. But it was so like toned down because it was just
well,
like,
I just want to jump in and say this is the barriers to entry thing.
Yes,
because like
exactly.
These people couldn't get a job at Sephora or MAC, but nobody at Mary Kay was like, you don't know anything about this. So like not a great fit.
Yeah. And everyone is not a cosmetic salesman. But, you know, if you want to try, go ahead. Anyway. The last thing that I want to talk about kind of from our youth is I just want to touch on, and there are a lot of Reddit threads that are very interesting if anyone listening is like more interested in this part specifically, but the connection between school fundraisers and like our generation's willingness to do like these online MLMs. You have any thoughts on that burning right away? Go ahead.
I'm ready to talk about the speakers who came to gymnasiums to hype kids up aggressively to sell magazines.
Yep.
And if that is not an MLM to you, you are not paying attention.
You are simply not paying attention. I often sat out the fundraisers, I will say, because a lot of them, it was like you would get a pack of candy bars, wrapping paper, whatever it was, and you would need to sell them. And I think most of the time you could return the ones that you didn't sell. But there were a couple that we did in high school when you did not go to our school where like you were not able to return the ones that you didn't sell. It was like MLM style where like
you had to buy them.
If you didn't sell them, yeah, then you have to just buy the rest.
I feel
and
like
so
that
parents
sounds familiar
are
with a wrapping paper situation.
I do feel like it was a wrapping
paper. I feel like
paper.
I remember a wrapping paper one where like, you had to buy it, and then you either sold it to your mom or to, but probably to your mom.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But that's so, like, it takes advantage of the kids, of families, like, and the only reason why schools are having to do fundraisers is because they literally aren't being funded enough. And so it's this weird opportunity for
let's talk about how we're giving the money to people who aren't education and it's wrong.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And so like there are some great fundraisers that we did that were like not MLMs. For example, my favorite was Springfest, where I did get electrocuted, but it was still my favorite.
Jamie did. Okay, so and I feel like a lot of schools
had today,
like a version
of
this. No, I loved the time you got electrocuted on a carnival ride at our school was one of my favorite things. Truly, still continues to be. But I'll say, I feel like our adjacent suburb school district did that too. And I feel like a lot of like Midwest suburby schools do the, basically they have like a carnival, they bring in the rides and then everybody like comes and like enjoys
spends
the carnival
money.
And it raises money for the school. And honestly, like that's fun because it also is like, brings community together. And like, that's not an MLM. That's just like a fundraiser. And there's like a benefit. Like you're going to a fair. Fairs are fun. It's like every fucking Catholic parish in the world has festivals in Cincinnati.
God.
Yeah. Every single one. And they're fun.
They are.
It's very
they're
fun.
Really fun.
I love a Catholic festival.
Oh my God, when I was a kid, I used to buy like a bunch of scratch-offs and I would just sit on like the ground behind the tent that my grandparents ran and just do scratch-off after scratch-off while drinking Mountain Dew. Anyway, it was a great time.
No, but one of the other ones of product fame that you're talking about with school underfunding, I remember when I was in middle school in band, we had to sell one of the things they did. And this one like worked. Like this was like, because it was just kind of fun. It was everybody in band had like, you got like a bag of like suckers and they were really big.
Oh, I remember
and they were
that.
Like a lot of like fun, like the flavors were cool. And it was like an assortment a la Jelly Belly that there was like popcorn and
that's
like
right.
watermelon. And they were all sorts of colors, kind of like jawbreaker-esque. And they were big suckers. And I think you sold them for like a buck or something. Mm-hmm. But we just sold them at school and it was fun because everybody was just doing it in the cafeteria. And people were just like, oh, do you have this flavor in your bag? And that was just, that wasn't dumb. That was just like,
it was
fun. I mean, it was dumb that we were like making kids
students.
Do that to support their music program. But yeah. We were just hawking them to each other with like lunch money. And that was fine.
And the cookie dough one I was here for, we did that for orchestra.
Yeah, because that cookie dough was fucking good. It was great. Tubs. Oh, the peanut butter.
I will say, though, like the intensity.
I would buy that cookie dough now if I could get it. Better than Girl Scout cookies. I said it.
With that weird bird on the cover.
Mm-hmm. If any of you sold the bird cookie dough tubs, let us know. Like, get at us, because that shit was great. Lit.
It was
okay,
so good.
Peanut butter in particular.
But I just remember. Here comes another bleep. The like semi deranged orchestra teacher.
Yep, I would say fully deranged orchestra teacher. Go. You know who she reminds me of? She reminds me of a female Gordon Ramsay. Go on.
That's a pretty good. Yeah. Anyway, so her just like going on and on about like magazine sales and like the disrepair of the instruments, and like she would just like really draw the line between like the disrepair of our instruments and like our inability to sell magazines, and
I can't.
And it just feels like so MLM-y.
Gordon Ramsay, I said it.
Now when I look back on it. Anyway, so there's a lot more on Reddit about like the psychological connections of that if you want to dive into it. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of personal stories on there, not a lot of research, so it's fun to look through. That's all.
100%. I love some clinical anecdotal juju, but yeah, I do think it's really, when we think about all this MLM stuff, just really important to like hearken to grade school, middle school, and realize we were primed for this.
We were. And then we were like the first generation to like have Instagram and like Facebook when we were coming out of high school. We started to have Facebook. And so like,
yeah,
I feel that we are especially susceptible to like those ones that like ripped through Instagram, such as You Should Be Here.
Sure. Yeah, You Should Be Here. Weird. Weird. It's one of the weirder ones.
Yeah, it was so cryptic. Anyway, any other thoughts or feelings, personal anecdotes, before we dive into what it is and how it works?
Fuck magazine sales, but if you have a link to getting tubs of that cookie dough, like I do want it.
Yeah, so maybe good. Kids are still selling it. I don't know.
I would buy it.
Yeah. Selling it for
prizes. I would, again, better than Girl Scout cookies. Like, I stand by that. Also, I would rather have a tub of that peanut butter shit.
It was so good. Also, fuck those companies that are, like, giving kids shitty prizes for selling, like, 100 magazine subscriptions and then only giving the school, like, a small cut. Anyway, it's just bizarre.
I feel like I don't remember what sale of sorts it was. It might have been Girl Scout cookies. I was a Girl Scout. There were prizes for tiers of Girl Scout stuff too. And at some point I did sell something that resulted in me getting an inflatable chair that you and I used to ride down the stairs at my parents' house.
Oh, I didn't know that was a prize. I think of that.
I think it was Girl Scout cookies.
I think of that couch often.
Wow. I'm not mad at the Girl Scout MLM cookie vibes, though, because that's like a self-contained entity funding their own
activities,
and they choose what they do. Listen, we used like our cookie money to like go camping and ride horses. I regret nothing.
Exactly. And also recently, Girl Scouts of America recently came out and said that they don't give money or do any kind of support or work with organizations that work against trans rights. So that's cool of the Girl Scouts. Anyway,
they updated the uniforms actually to be much more inclusive, and they're like flyer. Like, honestly,
that's
some of
great,
the Girl Scout uniform
love
pieces.
Scouting.
Honestly, like I'm going to say this, like I would wear some of the pieces of the Girl Scout uniform as like fashion right now, you know?
Yeah. We had a friend, and God, I cannot stop derailing, but we had a friend in high school who wore his Boy Scout shirt a lot. I remember that.
Oh, God, we did. He would wear it all the time to school, and it was weird. Yeah, it's weird.
It was
Why didn't we,
brave.
Like, call that out? He was, like, brave. One of our best friends. And, like, why didn't we, like, say, like, dude, what?
Because he was so arrogant. Like, he would never have.
Yeah, for sure.
He would have been like, no, you're wrong about that. And I would be like, all right, like, everyone's laughing at you, but it's totally fine.
You know what? That's real. I just like to shout out that one of our best friends in middle school was just like wildly maybe the most arrogant person we went to school with.
And wore a Boy Scout shirt and a fedora and like dress pants.
That's true. Guys, we were really the in crowd is what we're trying to tell you.
Dress pants. Remember that?
I mean, I can't.
Okay. So we're going to pivot to a very informative blog called I Like to Dabble that's run by a woman named Daniela, who is a very...
That sounds right up my alley as a Gemini of like, try and learn something new, but never get good enough at it. I'm like, yeah, I'd love to dabble.
Yeah, okay. She's a writer. She dabbles. She finds stuff. Her name's Daniela, and she is a lesbian, and she's got some good articles. Anyway, the one that, that we'll be talking about is from... 2019, and it's MLM Scams and Horror Stories, the screwed up world of multi-level marketing.
Screwed up world. Let's call a spade a spade.
Let's do it. So jumping in with just like, what is multi-level marketing? Let's put some parameters around it. So multi-level marketing.
Yeah, I give a fake definition. Exactly. Let's say the real thing.
Daniela tells us that multi-level marketing is a business model and or marketing strategy that direct selling companies use to get existing distributors to recruit new distributors. These distributors, they all sell the company's products, but most of the company's revenue actually comes from the recruitment side of the house. So when they recruit distributors or sellers, they make the sellers purchase as much as thousands of dollars worth of product up front before buying anything, before anything else can happen. Lula Rowe. Mary Kay. How you have to buy, like, there's different tiers of entry packages that you can buy. And a lot of them, especially with like Herbalife and shit, like you'll buy a package.
doTERRA, the essential oil people. Forgot about that one.
Yeah. So like with some of those, you can buy different levels of starter kits, and like the bare bones one is like just like the stuff you're supposed to sell. But then like other ones have like classes attached to them, and you start like paying to go to like seminars that are just like basically a motivational speaker, not teaching you how to actually sell stuff, but like pumping you up about like being your own boss and like just a bunch of like fluff, just a bunch of hot air. So that's
this
what
is
you're
the
really
guy who comes
for.
In to get you hyped about magazine sales in fourth grade.
Exactly. But doesn't
it's
actually
the same
give
energy.
You, doesn't actually give you tactics on how to sell, but that energy gets you ready to like get other people hooked in. So
yeah, totally.
She tells us it's a damn pyramid scheme. Then we
call
say,
it, girl.
What's a pyramid scheme? And like, why wouldn't they just call MLMs pyramid schemes? And the answer to that is because then they'd be illegal. So a pyramid scheme is illegal and MLM is not. So it's like,
wait,
this-
but what is the difference? Wait, this is, I've never really thought about this because yes, I do know that pyramid schemes are illegal, but I've never thought about the fact
the weird loophole.
That somehow MLMs are like circumnavigating the illegality of it all.
The actual definition of a pyramid scheme is, she tells us, a form of investment illegal in the US and elsewhere, in which each paying participant recruits two further participants or more, with returns being given to earlier participants using the money
there it is.
Contributed by later ones. So let's just like make this personal, give an example. So let's say that like I get involved in like some kind of what's one I would fall for? Say like maybe a Wiccan MLM and I'm like
a black magic, a menstrual blood burning
yeah
kit.
I'm selling magical objects, antiques, I don't know, and whatever that is, I'm trying to do it, but I have purchased for, let's say, $1,000 my starter kit from whoever got me hooked into this shit.
www.magicwiccanshit.com.
exactly. Angel fire. And and I figure out that I can't really make that much money from selling these because like the profits are negligible and I have to pay the company back anyway, or like pay myself back because I'm already in the hole for buying this inventory. So what I can do to make more money is I can get Austin involved. I can be like, oh my God, like I'm doing this super cool thing. And like, you should also
look at these
sell
black candles. Yeah. You could also hawk this to your friends in your area.
Yeah. So many people would want to buy this from you. Then what happens is everything that, so I get like a bonus for recruiting Austin, and the person who recruited me also gets a little bonus for me recruiting someone. Then anything that Austin sells, I get a little cut of it. And then also the person above me gets a little cut of it. And so that's what's called like an up and a down line. And so it's like anyone that you've recruited, like the more people you've recruited and the more people they've recruited, you're like their grand mentor. You're making a cut of all of those monies. And that's the way that the company mm-hmm. actually makes money. And if you picture it, it's a pyramid and it goes up and all the money funnels to the top. Mm-hmm. And Daniela goes on to say, is it just me or does that definition look almost identical to what an MLM is?
It seems totally the same. And also, it's just I just want to shout this out because this is, again, where I feel like lines we're like experiencing blurry lines with these things. And then there are adjacent blurry line things. You know how a lot of times at like kind of your corporate-y jobs that when somebody refers somebody else, if that person gets hired and works a certain amount of time, the person who referred gets a bonus?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I feel like some of that stuff existing and being normalized probably creates like subtle paths to the MLM because it's like a little bit of like,
yeah,
here's somewhere where it seems more acceptable. Like it grays these boundaries in some ways, maybe. No,
that's a really good point. Yeah. So she goes on to tell us that she dug into like what is really the difference. And according to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, the main sure. difference between MLMs and pyramid schemes is that MLMs apparently have inventory, like they have products, and pyramid schemes do not. Which,
oh, this makes sense. This makes sense. This, okay, this is a clip. This is how you can have LuLaRoe, but like, yep. Anybody who watched, was it, I think it was Netflix, the Murder on Middle Beach or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Where oh, my God. People are part of like tables.
Whatever the giving tables, which that's a pyramid scheme. There's no product. You're just like giving.
Fuck. It is. There's no inventory.
Yeah. Giving tables is one. And if you watch that true crime moment, yeah, that's an example.
So I thought that that was very interesting and strange because like, yes, it makes something seem like infinitely shadier if there's like no product even to begin with. And I think like a lot of motivational or like career trajectory programs that people can get sucked into are like, are pyramid schemes without an actual product because like the
right.
the product that you're actually kind of buying is like excellence or success.
right. Yeah. Like some sort of like new mindset.
Exactly.
You're buying a dream, honestly.
You are. And I would be so curious to see if because of like American dream stuff and American like mentality, I wonder if other countries have as many of these. Or if people are less susceptible.
I bet that the U.S. probably ranks the highest in, like, organized MLM kind of shit. Whereas I could see maybe other countries that are maybe, like, more community-oriented than the U.S. Because, like, in this country, we don't give a fuck about our neighbors.
No.
And it's not right, but it's a general vibe. And I feel like maybe people could just be like tricked into like little communal things, but it's like less out there. So there might not be the data. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Just hypothetically. But I feel like MLM, like in general, dude, I feel like we're hot spot. Okay.
I know.
Okay. I'd like to know regionally, actually, just in this country, like which regions are more susceptible. I would guess more rural areas.
I think based on doing a lot of reading about like the sister wives dabbling and stuff, I think that rural people, especially people who have children that they are the primary caretaker for, those are like the most frequent MLM people.
I also feel like religious communities probably yes. have more of a vibe to dive into MLMs. And some of it, again, is like we talked sister wives, maybe how they could end up there. But I want to say like in general, if you're somebody who's like super like faith oriented, particularly to Christianity, but I guess to anything, I could see how it would have the appeal because you could make it somehow about like your values. And mm-hmm. if everything like has to revolve around your values, like my job doesn't revolve around my values, but some people it does, and good for y'all.
But church people also have a community that's ready to go to potentially buy this or also get sucked in.
Oh yeah, and then you're like supporting them because it's like the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stressful.
So let's talk about five warning signs that a business is an MLM scam.
Oh, let's go, guys. Get your pens and paper out.
Yeah.
Jot down the notes.
Some patterns to look for. The first one is going to be crazy sales tactics. So MLM reps will sell you the opportunity like it will be the best thing that will ever happen to you. I think we've probably all received...
It's like the Mary Kay, you can get the pink car. Like, what the fuck?
That's ridiculous.
And that's
crazy. It
would
be embarrassing.
At what other institution would you sell cosmetics and somehow it would... like involve you ultimately getting like a very like novelty car? Like, that's crazy.
Yep. It's bizarre. Anyway, so MLM people are trained to spam social media with like positive statuses and lie about how much they're making, and so like a lot of these claims are obviously false. MLM reps will also lie to you about the title of their position, often referring to being brand ambassadors, so look out for that one. The second one is going to be weirdly urgent slash annoying recruiting strategies. Again, I think a lot of us have experienced this. I had a lot of like service industry coworkers who were trying to get out of the service industry try a bunch of MLMs and then like send me a lot of text messages that I just like just ignored. You know, it's just pages of messages.
I feel like service industry folks, again, this leads to like schedule flexibility, especially like in food and bev serving. Like, you may have a pretty flexible schedule, which then you also may be looking for other flexible schedule, you know.
Yes. And I would like to read some screenshots that Daniela has put up in this article.
Wait.
And I don't think that they're to her. Like, all the names are blocked out, although she didn't do a good job. And one is from Katie. Anyway, incoming message reads, "Hey, pretty lady," series of emojis. "If I were to hook you up with a meal plan and workout plan, would you be down to dive into an 80-day routine with me? It'll change your life."
80 days. That's a large commitment.
It'll change
just
your
stop
life.
There.
Many E's and like praise hands emojis. Then the person who receives this responds and says, "No, thanks. I'm already a devoted runner and eat well. Thanks, though." And this is... then the next day, the person who's running the MLM or doing it, responds, "Of course. Thanks for sharing. And I'm happy to have other positive, healthy women on my feed." Then says, "You would make
on my feed.
You would make an incredible coach. I love your feed and enjoy your pet and nature pictures," series of emojis. "And you're into health and fitness. You could totally be getting paid for it." Then the person doesn't respond. And
good.
A month and a half later, this person comes in with another message and says, "Hey, girl, so I don't mean to be weird, but I came across your page recently and I love your smile and your positive vibes," heart emojis. "I know you're totally into running and being healthy, and I'm looking for ladies like you to join my team. Ladies with adventurous hearts, a passion for fitness, and a positive mindset. I can see you're a hard worker with your blog, and I think online coaching would be amazing," many exclamation points and emojis. "You already do what coaches do. Share the journey. Would you consider checking it out?" And this person, again, does not respond.
I don't know.
It's the strange, like, ignoring of people saying no. It's like they're yes-anding everything all the time. Like, she full stop ignored that girl said no twice.
Right. Like, let people just say it. Well, yeah, you're right. She fully, like, ignored it. It's not even like, it's just, like, disregarding what anyone says until they give you the answer you want, which is fucking weird.
Yes. Yes. And with this kind of like strange and aggressive marketing, specifically with Instagram, I would be remiss if I didn't quickly mention something that one of the sister wives posted.
Okay. Yes. Bring it to me.
So Christine, who is wife number three, she dabbles in MLMs and she posted a picture of like Noah's Ark or like something that was like it, like an ark.
I'm ready for how this in any way is relevant. Go on.
And she said something like, "Not all like God's, like, I don't love all God's creatures," like something weird about like not liking all animals, and then was like, like, "Comment below about which animals you think should have been left off the ark."
Wait, I mean, just like,
and you're wondering, what? How is this related to MLM stuff? Yes,
I'm absolutely wondering how this is related to MLM killing some sort of species. Go on.
So this was such an active post for her. Like, obviously, people were like religious people were upset and offended, but like also people were like engaging because they thought it was funny and like it was just like off the wall.
I mean, it is funny. I'll give them that. Mm-hmm.
And so she got like way more activity on this post. And then immediately after like a bump in followers is posting about
she's working that algorithm.
Her MLM. Mm-hmm. And so I read, in reading about the Browns' finances and stuff, they talked about this post and her using it as like a social media like bomb, basically, where it had nothing to do with what she was selling. It was just like a giant attention getter. It's like she like shot a gun in the fucking auditorium and everyone looked. And then she started talking about MLMs.
I mean, listen, here's to more people shooting guns in auditoriums for effect. I'm open to it.
It's dramatic and it works.
But no, that makes sense. And I feel like a lot of, you know, just in general, like influencer culture. I mean, influence stuff. I'm like, I don't know how these fit tea people get involved. I don't know what
the pyramid
of that looks like. Yeah, well, of course not. I mean, first of all, barf on that diet culture. But yeah, that's a whole vibe. Also, like, guys, again, that's another thing that I just like to say is like, guys, if like somehow just drinking a tea was going to change the way you looked, everyone would be doing it. Anyway.
And it would be so expensive. Like, I might trust it. If that tea was like $6,000 for like a box that would last me a month, then I'd be like, fuck, that shit's probably like, that really works.
I mean, don't give the creators that kind of idea.
Well, it would very quickly be revealed to not work if it were that expensive, I think. Anyway, I'm derailing, but I do want to mention that I think it's interesting how many MLMs are related to like health and fitness or like wellness.
Yeah.
Because like all of our kind of like idealized bodies, it's so like equivalent to like the quote American dream, I think. Like people think about like an idealized future where maybe like they have a lot of money and they're this entrepreneur and like, you know, like they've worked hard and it paid off. And I think that people feel the same way.
Can I also
go ahead?
Yeah. I want to interject on this because that I feel like in some ways is the previous American dream is this like rags to riches story. But I actually feel like the current American dream is revolved into like being famous, like truly. And it's the opportunity. It's like, forget like wealth on some level, it's like notoriety, and through social media the like the vibe that like anyone can have a following and like gain fame.
Yes. And so like that I think gets like married with exactly like fame feelings, and also like people our age I think maybe realizing that it's possible to like, quote, I hate this, but like work smarter, not harder. And I think that people see MLMs as that sometimes. Like it's a way to shortcut like having to go through the steps of like climbing a career ladder. Like, oh, I'm just intrinsically amazing at sales, so like I'll just do this now and I'll be also internet famous about it.
Right.
Yeah. But also like,
it's very much influencer culture though.
Yes, like, it is. It is. And it's weird and it's gross. Anyway, and I'm curious about how it will like change shape in 10 years again. So because it will. Moving on with this list, you saw this one coming, but they typically have like a terrible Better Business Bureau rating. Like, of course they do.
But yeah, you'd expect.
And then also low quality products and outrageous product claims. So just selling things that like you could probably get at Target for $20 for like $200 and claiming that it does a bunch of shit that it sort of maybe does, or you could argue in court that it does.
It's that $6,000 tea, okay?
It is, that I'm susceptible to. It is that.
Uh-huh.
Then the last thing that you really need to be aware of, and I think that this is the biggest red flag of all, maybe not the biggest, whatever, but the pressure to buy inventory and pricey training. So this is what I was talking about.
Don't do like, it, guys. No.
Yeah, if there are like common startup costs that are cited are inventory kits, starter kits, fast track training programs, useless
seminars,
conferences, expenses for parties. Yeah, like networking events that cost $500, just maybe not. So like as an example, we'll use LuLaRoe. The initial buy-in for LuLaRoe was $5,000 previously and is now $2,500.
I mean, both are absurd.
It's a lot. So when you buy products to start selling, you can't even pick the items yourself. It comes as a mystery box, which is pitched as like a fun thing, but like actually
fucked
it's
up.
Just probably whatever inventory they have right there and they don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
LuLaRoe consultants often are still waiting for their payouts after a full year of selling back, they're allowed to like sell back some of their inventory, but then what's happening is like the company is like just never actually buying it back for years.
Right. There are a lot of people, and there was a lot of hubbub of like people trying to sell back their inventory and then like the company refusing and that not being the agreement. There were court cases. I really enjoyed listening to that play out.
So speaking of people trying to sell things back, and also like, because I think, you know, Mary Kay is the original and interesting, the short example story that I want to share from Daniela's post is from write-in person Melissa. Melissa tells us, I actually worked for two different MLM schemes. The first time, I was young and dumb and actually took out an unsecured loan for $1,800 at a steep 18% fixed interest rate to purchase Mary Kay inventory. I quickly decided I would never sell that much makeup, and I ended up shipping the product back to the company for a 50% refund.
50%.
So they made just like off the bat, didn't have to do anything. She just gave them what's half of $1,800? $900. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she goes on to say, then after my husband and I relocated our family out of state, we had no friends, no circle, no community or church. So I felt very lonely. I reached out to my sister-in-law for information on a Beachbody program. And before you know it, I was drinking the Kool-Aid, or Shakeology rather.
Shakeology. Shout out to the narrator here. Okay.
With Mary Kay, I earned about $300, but with expenses, even after the 50% refund, I lost about $600 to $800. With Beachbody, I didn't lose money, but I literally made $0. Everything I earned, I reinvested in the company. Melissa also has a YouTube channel where she shares more on her MLM experiences and helping others to leave MLMs as a sort
leave
of
them.
Yeah, as a sort of a coach, which I'm like, is that another? Are you getting into? Anyway, whatever.
Are you being paid to coach people out of MLMs and they need to recruit their previous MLM friends? I don't know. Now I got questions.
I have questions about her now. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so.
Wouldn't that be the ultimate hack? Like, mm-hmm. I created an anti-MLM MLM. Wow.
It's
free idea, guys.
Kind of genius. Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly.
So I do want to talk about another article that I found, The Cult Psychology of MLMs. But before we talk about that, do you have any lingering questions, concerns, or comments about just kind of the functionality of an MLM?
I don't think so. I feel like just affirmed. And honestly, I feel like one of the largest takeaways folks should have is that like maybe more things, like even more things are MLMs than you previously considered.
Absolutely they are. And when we get into this cult psychology, I will have like some personal comments about that. But
I love your cult.
So like I said, I would like to talk about an article called The Cult Psychology Behind MLMs. This is a medium.com article, but I mostly wanted to read, the author, Lindy Price, first name, she spoke with and quotes Rick Ross, who is the executive director of...
Like Rick Ross, Rick Ross?
No.
No. Oh, I got excited.
No, this guy, God, I wish he was like a MLM cult
expert. Wish somehow you were going to bring Rick Ross into this conversation. Now I'm disappointed. No one even wants to hear about this Rick anymore. Anyway.
Well, I know it's boring, but he is the executive director of the Ross Institute for the Study of Destructive Cults, Controversial Groups, and Movements.
Not the American rapper, songwriter, entrepreneur that we were all hoping for.
It is not, but someone who is potentially doing some good work. So he highlighted several cult warning signs to watch out for, and many of these can be applied to MLMs. The first one they talk about is absolute authoritarianism without meaningful accountability.
Okay.
This is where we get similar to cult stuff. People enter into MLMs with the mindset that they're going to get rich or at least make like a decent side income. And as long as they think that there's a pile of cash at the end of the rainbow, people will go into debt trying to make money in an MLM. And so I feel that we could like very easily draw some lines to the promises of cults, like especially if you're like putting all of your stock in like the quote afterlife, like you can dig yourself into a hole like in your real life thinking that there's like this false promise that like this authoritarian person keeps reminding you of.
Right.
So when MLMs hold all the cards, so to speak, but refuse to take responsibility for any damage that their business model causes, it creates dangerous psychological and financial situations for the people who are involved. And so like in the way that maybe some abusive religious or cult situations could tell you that when something goes right, it's the work of God. And when something goes wrong, it's your fault.
We can replace your beads, but the crystals are cracking due to negative energy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see you.
Exactly. So number two is no tolerance for questions or critical inquiry.
Okay.
I would like to hearken to the con artists episode where I talked about being involved with a band that I felt like was like a front for something slash like maybe MLM.
Getting that fleet of Teslas.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There was a lot of like weird pressury stuff there about like loyalty and authority, and the band members were like very much blamed for anything that went wrong. But like if anything went right, it was because like our management was amazing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Seeing some of these things.
Gaslighting.
Like, yes. And that's what it is. That's what it is it's gaslighting. And then something else that they did that Rick Ross talks about is no meaningful financial disclosure. So like we were getting, and it makes you stay because like the reason why I stayed in this band for so long was because there was this like vague promise of money with no transparency about like how that money was moving or when it would actually come to me. There was just this idea that like a lot of money was coming in and would be coming to me. And then randomly I would receive sums of cash that would like keep me hungry for it. But it was never like enough to like warrant me just continuing to wait for more. So in that way, MLMs such as, for instance, LuLaRoe, they went from $0 to $2 billion as like their net worth in the last 10 years, and like that would be amazing and incredible if that money was coming from sales, but it's just coming from the people that are trying to sell the product. So like you're just luring all of these people in. And so like LuLaRoe will say like, oh my God, like we've made $2 billion in the last 10 years and like you can be a part of that. But they're not transparent about like, you're actually how we're making the money. So
right. With $2 billion we made, we took from you.
Yeah.
You too can be a part of giving us $2 million.
Exactly. And then the last thing that he talks about is, oh, I'm sorry, not the last, but I think this is one of the most interesting and applies to the Brown family and like maybe like church families that we talk about.
Sure. Bring back the sister wives.
Unreasonable fear about the outside world. So,
oh, preppers, go on.
The target audience for MLMs, he says, is usually mothers. Stay-at-home moms looking to generate a little side income are drawn by the possibility of getting rich while working flexible hours. They're also often attracted to the sense of belonging and community that an MLM provides. This is why they're rampant, like within church communities.
And also, I would throw down too, I think generationally, not to say that millennials aren't susceptible to some of this, you know, wish you were here bullshit, but I think like the Mary Kay vibes and the like, if you're in a very like cis heteronormative, like the man makes the money, it maybe is this also desire to have a little bit of like financial independence, maybe a little bit of something that brings to you, but that can seamlessly transition into your life of like gender norm roles or whatever that in your household that maybe isn't emasculating your husband or whatever you're worried about. Just throwing it out there.
That's a really good point. And I actually want to just take a moment to acknowledge that, especially with Mary Kay, I think because it's an older one that started like sort of pre women's lib stuff. Totally. There is, I think it's in the movie The Hours. Julianne Moore plays like a 1950s housewife who's very unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's either her or her friend is a Mary Kay saleswoman. And like she's very like polished and it's very much like her job and her business.
But it's very Stepford Wives. It is.
It straddles this line of like, I'm a serious business lady. I'm an entrepreneur, but like I'm a lady and like I'm like and not threatening to my man and like this does not take me away from my children. But like it is weirdly liberating because it's a feeling of maybe like a woman being able to make her own money that she was not able to make for the first time.
100%.
And so in that way, I do think it's extra appealing and alluring, especially like for mothers, in a way that's like pretty insidious. Like, do we really?
Well, yeah, but I think women have been shamed a lot and I mean, are still shamed of like, you see celebrities on like couples on the carpet and people always like ask women like, oh my God, how do you like balance this like great mm-hmm. career you're having and like raising your children? No one asks dudes that. Yeah, like, how are you balancing being a dad? They absolutely fucking should.
More accountability.
But yeah, I think there's something super like, oh, like I'm not abandoning my kids if I'm selling Mary Kay. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like it can be integrated into your life. Like it, the feeling that it won't disrupt everything. Then he also says, like, just the social pressure of, like, if you are in a church community or something, or even just a friend group where, like, what if all of your closest friends are selling those, like, doTERRA essential oils?
I mean, truly help.
And, like, they're always talking about it. Like, you might be tempted to sell essential oils, too, like, just to kind of, like, be in
to
the
hang
club
out
with their friends. Yeah, like, if that's what they do all the time, it's like, all right, I'll do it, too. Let's see. The last thing is that, and this is interesting, and I think that this is also like pretty culty. Of course, that's what this list is. But he says there is no legitimate reason to leave. And in arrangements that I have not wanted to be in anymore, such as like that band that was a front for something slash like also an MLM situation. Because one time, because one time, like the girl who was the lead singer of the band was like in the bathroom for like a half an hour when we were like at this show at a bar, not our show. We like went to see someone else and she went to the bathroom forever. And when she came back, I was like, what the fuck was going on? And she was like, oh, I just made $30,000. And I was like, what? And she was like, oh, yeah, like there's this website. It's like Facebook, but it's for musicians. And like every time people who I recruit post, I get like this amount of money. And like every time I post, I get this amount of money. And like you can do it too soon. And like when you post, like I'll get a cut of your money. And then talking about how fucking I think I called him Shadrack in the episode.
You
That's
did.
Not his name, but
yeah, if you go back to the con artist episode, guys, of yesteryear, his name was Shadrack in the
he is like the top of the chain like that I was aware of, but there could have been someone above him. But basically she was describing like being in his downline and saying like he recruited me to do this, so like when I post and I make money, he makes money, and soon like you will do this too and I will make money off of you and he will make money off of you, and then you can invite your friends and you will make money off of them. And she's like manically describing all of this in a bar bathroom. Anyway, back to what I'm actually talking about is
neither here nor there. Yeah, sure.
There is no legitimate reason to leave. So I felt this in that band situation because it was like it wasn't taking up all of my time. Like there wasn't anything that was like technically like really wrong, or like I hadn't been like no one was like mean to me. So there wasn't like a good reason to leave. And in MLMs, like people talk about that this is not a traditional job where it's like taking 40 or whatever hours out of your week where like to get a different job, you'd have to leave that one. No, you can like get a different job and like keep doing the MLM, or you can move across the country and keep doing the MLM. Like it follows you through everything,
right?
Because it's there's like no boundaries and it's not real. It's just like this thing that you're forever indebted to.
It follows you and there are no boundaries, just like a stalker.
Yeah. Anyway, so followers talk about never feeling like they can be good enough. That's definitely also something that I experienced like in that weird situation. It feels all so icky and like controlling. And
sure.
I don't know. MLMs are so insidious because they're just like this giant lie about like what could be, and like playing off of like our capitalist desires, but also like fame and like get rich quick feelings. It's so emotional. Like there are just so many emotional reasons why someone would get entangled with slash not be able to leave an MLM. And then at the end of it all, this is the last point I would like to make. you have, and I think this is why it's probably also hard to leave, you have like the shame of like the failure of it. So like if you have all of
this. Or like admitting that you were maybe in an MLM.
Admitting that you got swindled. Like there's so much that's embarrassing about it, I think. And also there's the feeling of, okay, like sunk cost. Like I've been doing this for 5 years and I'm $100,000 in, which is like, honestly.
Yeah, maybe if I can just make my money back, which keeps you longer.
And that's what a lot of people talk about, is continuing to spend money with the false hope that it will turn around and become positive eventually. That like, this is all the investment. And like, if I go to one more seminar, like that'll be the time. And like, then I can succeed. Ooh, so before I would like to do a rapid fire reading of some MLMs that you may or may not have heard of before I move.
Okay, I'm ready. Yeah, send us some intel on buyer bewares, I guess I'll say.
And if there are any of these that like stick out, I'm going to just read through them. There's a ton. Let me know, because I can like, I have a page up here where I can click on each of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you've heard of any of these, Ann Summers. Avon Products, we knew about that one.
Yeah, we knew about Avon.
Barefoot mm-hmm. Books, Beachbody, Beauty Counter, Bio Performance, The Body Shop, Cutco, knew about that one. Discovery Toys. I feel like I had some Discovery Toys.
I feel like I did too.
Interesting. Okay. doTERRA, that's the essential oils. Forever Living Products, Free Life, Herbalife, knew about that one. Juice Plus.
Herbalife for sure.
LuLaRoe, we knew about that. Lime Life, Lioness, spelled with a Y, Metafast, Mary Kay, on to the next page. Nature's Sunshine Products, New Ways, New Skin Enterprises. I think my grandma has some of those products. Nexium. Mm. People at her church sometimes like give her cosmetic samples, and I feel like,
oh yeah, because they're trying to hawk it.
Exactly. And little do they know, like my grandma will never ever have a desire to like spend money on cosmetics or sell them to others, so jokes on them.
I mean, we can't know what changes. Well, now when we find the photos of the facade of this house,
you're right when we get back to, I can't remember his name and I won't say it here, but she might want some cosmetics anyway. Omnilife, Pampered Chef, Pure Romance, something called Senti, Stream Energy, Telecom.
That's stressful to me.
Telecom Plus, Success University. The fuck is that?
Good question.
Wow. Yeah, it's just a fake university that you can apply to that's run by a bank, looks like in another country. All right.
Well, perfect.
Perfect.
Sounds kind of like Trump University anyway.
It does. Anyway, closing it out with some things called Zango, Young Living, and Unique, Y-O-U-Nique, which is the MLM that sister wife Christine Brown is currently a part of.
God bless.
God bless. You Should Be Here did not appear on the list, but I did look that one up years ago, and it is indeed also an MLM.
Many the MLM.
Many.
Ooh, what a list. Yeah. I'm certainly not all-encompassing, you know?
Definitely not. There's many more, and I skipped some because there were so many and they had boring names, but just a few to look out for. And any other, like, feelings, questions, other...
Constant vigilance, people.
Seriously, though, that's how
Don't
I feel
be swept
about
up.
It.
If it seems too good to be true, it's because it probably is.
Even if you're most... handsome peer from high school is inviting you to it.
Even if you sent him a candygram that said, "We think you're so hot and we talk about it all the time."
You know what? Candygrams are an excellent fundraiser.
I root
just
for
to
them.
Bring it full circle with that.
Shout out to your middle school crushes. Do it in the moment, guys. You don't regret it when you get old. Promise.
That's true. Yeah, it's just kind of nice. Anyway,
I've never regretted telling someone I thought they were hot. I've never been embarrassed by that.
I've done that so infrequently that I don't know.
I've done it too frequently. You know, I have a threshold where I am loose enough that my MO is just to tell everyone how beautiful I think they are and just give out my phone number like a party favor. Oh, and yeah. Yes, I am that white girl. So God bless.
Pour a little liquor on you. Watch it happen.
You know.
Yeah. All right. Well, shall we then cue the vibraphone, pivot to a verbal game?
Cue it. So, I've got a bit of a verbal game for you in hearkening to some of the things we've discussed, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Would you rather hawk LuLaRoe leggings or magazine subscriptions? You have to sell one.
Oh.
This is how you make your money, and so you're going to be committed to the success because it is how you eat.
Right. Well, okay, so first off, I have to say that I think that magazine subscriptions are not going to be a thing that, like, I'm able to really hawk anymore unless these are online subscriptions, in which case that's possible. Can they be online subscriptions?
Sure, why not?
Okay, so that changes it. So,
although I will say I'm not subscribed to any online magazines, but I do have one in print subscription. So
if it's something that could be either, because like I also like a physical magazine, but I just don't want to sign up for a life where I'm like selling something that no longer exists. So
yeah, that's fine. And we'll give you options, print or digital or both. You know, very New York Times of us.
Mm-hmm. I would feel less guilty, I think, about hawking magazine subscriptions because people are potentially like learning from those. It's like actually a product that, I mean, I know what the magazine is. It's not like it's like Jason's Publishing or something. Like,
okay, well, that's making some assumptions about your product assortment, but go ahead.
Well, that's true. That's true. I'm just thinking of the magazines I was forced to sell by in middle school.
Bleep it.
Yeah, again.
She means Gordon Ramsay, the orchestra teacher, you know.
I do. So with LuLaRoe, I think I would be embarrassed more.
Yeah.
Because it has like the MLM recognition that it's like more transparent as an MLM in a way that like selling magazines is like a little different. And I think I would feel less bad. So like, I think selling magazines, and that's ultimately, I think, what it would come down to. Like, which one do I feel more inauthentic and guiltier about than I won't do it?
Yeah.
And I think that I couldn't do like the recruitment stuff. And if I was like trying to recruit people, I would rather recruit them to sell magazine subscriptions than to sell leggings. I don't know. Cause
yeah,
also
I think that's
like,
real.
Yeah, I don't know, because there's like also weird stuff about like fitness culture and like that feels like kind of icky and
slimy.
Yeah, magazines. That's my choice. Do you do the same?
I would do magazines. Yeah, I would do magazines. I'm here for all the same reasons. And again, also less embarrassed about it.
Yeah, and I picture myself going door to door, which I wouldn't do, in like an outdated, oversized suit. Like, that's the person that I think would come to the door to sell you magazines now.
Sure. Yeah, well, that's fair. That's fair. I'm open to it. Okay, so in the spirit of one of our favorite themes of this show on our new platform, franchising, I'd like to offer you another Would You Rather.
Okay.
Your livelihood is based on a pyramid MLM vibe of, like, recruiting other people to open a franchise and like you're getting kickbacks from like the franchise thing. And honestly, maybe this is our plan.
Oof.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to do it for Borders Books and Music or the Olive Garden?
Ooh, I want to do it for initially I'm thinking that I don't want to handle anything perishable. And so it just seems more complicated to like distribute perishables in the starter kit unless as the tip top of
the starter kit is buying the brick and mortar restaurant.
It is this and the uniforms and the training packets and the videos and the pepper grinders, all of it. That's your starter kit.
That cheese grater for the salad where I'm just patiently waiting while they don't stop. They're like, say when, and I'm like, I'll call you in an hour.
Okay. Yeah, they're cramping. I'm way more into the idea of running a Borders Books and Music, but if I am thinking about like what would be more successful as like a pyramid scheme for us to run franchises.
Ooh.
I think it comes
down. Now you're worried about lucrativeness and you're like, well, restaurants.
I don't know. Well, I just feel like, again, with the death of print media, I don't know how we make Borders survive or how we make...
You could sell your magazines to Borders and integrate your two MLMs.
Oh, wow. And actually, that's like pretty much how MLMs that are franchises work. Like, they force you to buy all your product from them and like hike up the price. And then it's like hard to make a profit. So yeah.
Listen, I promise our gay Chick-fil-A franchise life is not gonna be
corrupt.
An MLM.
It will not be corrupt. It will not. It will be so pure.
The most corrupt thing about it is me, this token straight person that they've let in to the establishment.
She'll sully the waters, but it's all right. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say that, like, let's link these two businesses, and I would always rather visit a Borders Books and Music than visit an Olive Garden if, you know, we need to make little trips out to check on people or collect money. So Borders.
I miss Borders Books and Music so much.
I know, and you and your brother.
Borders, and I only want to keep calling it Borders Books and Music. It's like I'm never Panera calling Bread. It just Borders.
Yeah.
Yes. I've had lunch at Panera Bread. I hey, do you want any takeout from Chipotle Mexican Grill?
Wow, it is the same as that.
It's absolutely the same.
Okay, well, it seems like we've got a lot of plans for Borders.
Listen, let us know about your franchise packs. Let us know about what you're trying to hawk. Let us know if you got caught up in an MLM or a pyramid. You know, we need to know. Please. Truly, we need to know. As always, you can sound off about whatever nonsense on the internet via email at whyyourlikethispod@gmail.com, on Instagram at whyyourlikethispod, and on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. Good morning, good night, and good luck setting your grandparents up with their ex-booze.
Seriously, and more on that later, probably. Bye.
Ooh, updates. Bye.